Our next storyteller is a thug wrangler and a former corrections officer. Please welcome Rory Miller.
Years of working jails and another year working prisons in Iraq, I heard get me out of here a lot. I'm going to talk about one guy that never said that. Most of you never worked a jail, I assume, or spent a lot of time in one. And this was a long time ago. I was a rookie. And the way the job works is you go to work, you get your radio and your keys. There are no weapons. You go to briefing where you find out anything that we expect to go wrong during the day. And then you go to your work. Normal work for a rookie is to go to a dorm. At the time, it would have 32 men in it, 32 inmates. And for 8 hours, you're locked in the room with them. You keep them under control, keep them from preying on each other, and just, as well as you can, maintain order, keep it clean, quiet, and safe. That's the job. You do that every day. You get really, really good at looking at the dynamics in a room. It's driving me crazy right now because with lights in my eyes, I can't see who's talking to who, and who's starting a card game, and who's set up lookouts on the corners to make sure no one sees them. Because I know you're out there. So you get really good at reading things. You start looking at all the stuff going on. And one day there was something a little strange, because you got the guys playing poker over there, and you know that there's something going on in the TV room because they've got a lookout out there, so you got to wander through and make sure they aren't doing anything too stupid. And there's one guy sitting with two other people at a desk doing math. And so I go up there and, you know, what's going on? Because, you know, everything that's running through my head is, are they setting up a con? Is this a gambling ring? What the hell is going on? And no, I'm helping them with their GED. I was a math professor in Chad. It's like, you're from where? I'm from Chad. All right, so this is weird. One of the things that there is a criminal subculture. And it's centered largely around drugs and money for drugs. And one of the things about the subculture is that unless you have a reason not to, you lie, especially to officers. Okay. And that's not a good or bad thing. That's just a matter in a marginal society where you don't have anyone to turn to solve problems for you. There's no mediation. Information is power, and you never give up power unless you have to. So the default is to lie. So when this man, his name was Ahmed Tangani, told me that, my first reaction was that that's not the whole truth. So I checked on the computers, and it said he was from Libya, picked up on an INS charge. You know, that okay, so he's lying about something. And so I went and talked to the GED instructor, and the GED instructor said he was, in fact, helping him with their math, that he had been a math professor in Chad. I'm thinking, okay, the GED instructor got snowed, too. Started looking into it, and he was from Chad. And Chad had lost a war with Libya, and in this weird-ass kind of ancient Greek tragedy, part of the treaty, part of the settlement at the end, was that Chad would send Libya a certain number of young men to serve in their army. And he was one of them. He was on an INS charge. He had escaped from the Libyan army. He had had himself smuggled out of Libya on his way to Canada. He had political asylum in Canada, and INS had picked him up at the Portland airport on a false passport and taken him into custody. I go up. I'm a straight-up rookie, and I'm talking to my sergeant about, you know, this is f***ed up. For one thing, this wasn't that long after the whole bombing the embassies in Libya issue. Libya was the original axis of evil at the time. And we're about to send a guy back to Libya. Do we even have an extradition treaty with Libya? This is insane. And the sergeant, of course, you know, well, rookie, you know, they lie. That story doesn't even make sense. 2 days later, he came back to me. He goes, you know, I looked into that. And there are people here in Portland who are trying to get him out so he can continue that trip to Canada. He does have asylum in Canada. Everything he said was true. The whole time, Mr. Tangani never asked to be let out, never asked for anything. In the course of this, we found out that he needed dialysis. He was going to dialysis twice a week. He's this little, soft-spoken, good guy helping other inmates with their math. And that was it. He was the quiet one in the dorm. And everyone involved was doing the right thing. INS picked him up on a false passport. That's their job. They brought him to jail. That's their job. We took him into jail because that's our job. And this is the one time in my career where I knew what the right thing to do was. One of the two times, but this is what I'm talking about. And I didn't do the right thing, and I followed the rules instead. And I talked to the sergeant. You know, I could go down there, key him out of the cell, and I could walk him out to the street, you know, call the people that are trying to arrange his trip to Canada, and we could get this done. And the sergeant goes, you'd be arrested. I go, yeah, but no jury would ever, you'd lose your job. Yeah. And it's, and the thing, and I'd like to think that I didn't do it because we need to have the people that are in uniforms, they're sworn to uphold the rules, to follow them. I really like to think that's the reason. And my fallback excuse is, you know, I had a family, a new baby, I needed the job, I needed the insurance, but the simple fact was that I knew the right thing to do and I didn't do it. I did the safe thing, I followed the rules. I came back to work on a swing shift. Ahmed Tangani was gone. He'd been picked up by INS to be flown back to Libya, not to Chad. And he was serving in an army that was composed of his enemies against his will. Everyone followed the rules. And we don't know, I don't know, I will never know, whether he was sent back to be executed for desertion by the Libyans, or whether they would take the easy way out and just not get him to dialysis, because that is all it would take to have him die without any blood on their hands. I'd like to think that he's got grandbabies and he's doing well, but I know that somewhere he's buried, and it would be neat if someone had written on his grave at some point that he was willing to help other inmates with their math.
Rory Miller, everyone. Great story.